Είστε παρέα με το SBS Ελληνικά.
Αντώνη Λέκα, and thank you very much for taking your time to talk to SBS Greek Radio.
That's my pleasure. Thank you for chatting with me.
Before we say anything about your contribution to this book that it was published 2 years ago, and I'm talking about the book which is called Living and Loving in Diversity, which is an anthology of Australian multicultural Greek adventures, including your adventure. I would like to you to tell us about your Greek background and your migrant journey so far.
Was born in Australia, in Melbourne, in Williamstown, actually, and my parents migrated here in the late 60s, early 70s. Both of my parents come from Kalamata. They pretty much got off the Port Melbourne pier and only ventured a little further west and settled in Williamstown and were there for a few years. But so I grew up with a strong sense of being Greek in the early years of my childhood when my parents were together. And upon separation of my parents' divorce, which was when I was 11 years old, we really lost a lot of our Greek roots, the Greek culture that we lived and experienced on a daily basis, because we spent a lot of time interacting with family and going to the Greek church, which was a very important part of our lives at the time. And also going to Greek school, and my older brother and sister learning how to, going to Greek dancing classes. And then, so we lived a very Greek life at home. Mm-hmm. But outside of the home, going to school was a very Australian experience. In fact, we lived sort of two different lives, if you like. One mm-hmm. that was very Greek at home, and one that was very Australian on the schoolyard and in the classroom at school and hanging out with friends. So this was the early experiences of how I understood my ethnic background, my Greek identity, to be merged with what it meant for me to be Australian as well.
Mm-hmm. But you shared your story, another story, in this book that we mentioned before. What is that story about?
This is a story about me understanding my sexuality and me having very little to no representation of queer identities or same-sex relationships throughout any of my childhood. Definitely not in my family and in my culture. I didn't see it anywhere. I don't remember any very sort of strong and visible representations of queer life growing up either outside of my family home. But in the book, I talk about something that happened when I was about 10 years old. It was actually my brother's godfather's home, his godparents. We went there for New Year's Eve. And I'm not sure in Greece how the Greeks celebrate New Year's Eve in the 80s, how they celebrated in Greece. But the Greeks in Melbourne used to all gather at one relative's home, and the men will all be playing cards and playing backgammon and in the garage or outside and smoking and drinking, and the women will all be inside the house preparing food and looking after the children. And then everyone would get together when the dancing was on, and we'd dance with so much joy, and it would be very festive, and the lamb and the pig and the spit on the spit would be turning in the background. And, you know, it was a very joyous event. But on this one night, my brother's godfather came out just before midnight dressed in drag. And he was... I was 10 and I wasn't quite sure what I was watching, but I was essentially watching a drag show. I was noticing everyone's reactions. They were, you know, people were thrilled about it. They were laughing and clapping and cheering him on. And my uncle was sort of sexualizing his behavior, lifting his skirt, looking at his hairy legs in these stockings. And he had this really bad applied makeup on his face. And I think that I wasn't quite sure what was happening, but I knew that he was breaking a few rules or something around gender and expression and the way that he was flirting with the men, my uncles in the space. There was something about that experience that got me thinking about my own interest in men. Not that I ever wanted to be a woman or I ever wanted to dress in drag or anything, but I thought about there was something different about the way everyone was interacting and what we were noticing about that space than any other experience I'd had in family when it came to attraction and sexuality mm-hmm. and gender expression.
He was doing that for fun, not because he was identifying himself as a drag queen.
Yes, he was doing it for fun. In fact, he was doing it to be made fun of. It wasn't so much a celebration of queerness or cross-dressing or gender bending or anything like that. It was very much to be a spectacle. So it wasn't so much of an affirming of queerness. It was just a joke, if you like.
So how did you identify yourself today?
I'm bisexual.
You're bisexual. And did you tell that to your parents back then or later in your life?
I came out very late. I'm 43 now. I came out to my family when I was 35, as in my biological Greek family. They were the last people I came out to, and I never felt that that was a conversation I wanted to have with them. I didn't even want to experience myself in that conversation with them to come out to them. I never thought I would be rejected or excluded from the family, but I felt that I would be rejected socially, if you like. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being the case, actually, that when I came out to my family as bisexual, because they had only ever known me to have relationships with women, which were real relationships and genuine relationships and that they supported. But when I had relationships with men, that would be done away from my family, in private, in secret.
Since when?
Knowledge.
What age?
In my 20s, had a relationship. Actually, the first person who wasn't a woman, a cisgendered woman that I had a relationship with, was actually a trans woman. And that was on and off for 4 years, and that was largely in private. Also, biphobia, transphobia, homophobia, all these things existed there as to why I didn't come out more fully in that relationship. Hmm. And then in my early 30s, I was having sexual relationships with men throughout my 20s, but in my 30s, I finally had my first love relationship with a man, and it was the second man I'd ever fallen in love with. In that relationship, he said to me, "I need you to come out to your family. I want to be out. I want to have a normal life in a same-sex relationship. You know, I don't want to be closeted anymore." And that's why I did. I came out to my family as bisexual. I said to them, "You know me as, you know, someone who is interested in women, and that I like women, and I also like men, and I'm interested in men. I actually have a partner, mm-hmm. a male partner."
You have a family now?
I'm in a different relationship now, years on, and I have a 10-month-old son with my female partner. I also have a male partner. I'm in a polyamorous relationship, and as a bisexual person, and the bisexual community and the polyamorous community are very closely connected. As a poly person in the world, I think that there are struggles and there's all sorts of stigmas and discriminations against and misconceptions about what polyamory is. It's a very complicated process because it's not a relationship model that is supported by our culture and community at large. So again, I find myself in a situation where we're careful with me and my partners on who we share this information with mm-hmm. and how much we share, because it's largely met with hostility and discrimination and negative reactions.
Is that coming from members of the Greek community as well?
All communities, even sometimes within queer communities. Being the B in LGBTI can be really tricky because people still have this idea that the B is a stepping stone to really being gay. It's a phase. It's, you know, you're still trying to work it out. So it's not seen as a legitimate sexual orientation. Being in a relationship that is not a traditional relationship, that might feel radical to some people, again, that relationship, because it's so uncommon for people, that's also treated as with suspicion and negative ideas.
You are being involved with the Thorn Harbour organisation, is that correct?
I'm a counsellor and social worker for Thorn Harbour Health. I'm a relationship counsellor here, so people come to our organisation seeking support in their relationship and families. So I provide counselling to individuals and couples and relationships, and also I'm part of the family violence team, so I'm largely responsible for the Men's Behaviour Change Program that we have here for gay, bisexual and trans men. So people who use violence in their relationships, so I work with them mostly. And I also do some work with victim survivors of family violence who are queer.
When you say families, you're not talking about rainbow families.
Mostly here at Thorn Harbour Health, it is rainbow families.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else, Anthony, that we should mention and we haven't mentioned until now?
There's not a lot of representation, regardless of, your relationship or sexuality. In the Greek community here in Melbourne, I don't see a lot of spaces other than Greek and gay. And we did have an event at the Aegean restaurant in for midsummer where we had a lovely night at the Bouzoukia. But other than that, really, I'm not seeing a lot of discussion in families. I'm not seeing a lot of content in Greek newspapers. I'm not seeing a lot of, other than this, and I thank you for doing this, for putting some information out there. We're really needing the representation to be out there, for it to be more normalised in our community, within Greek communities here in Melbourne.
SBS, always on the side of the LGBTIQ people.
Thank you.
Θέλετε να ακούσετε περισσότερες ιστορίες σαν και αυτήν? Ακούστε στο Apple Podcast, στο Google Podcast, στο Spotify ή οπουδήποτε ακούτε podcast.